We know that we are in this walk. We have 8 days before Pentecost, as we heard in the first message, that God has called us to a law of liberty, His way of life, to come out of this society, Satan's world, His ways. And in this process, God gives us deliverance. He gives us peace. He gives us joy by keeping His law. But we must be doers of the law, as we're told in James chapter 1, verse 25. And Paul continues in Romans chapter 6, as we use this chapter, we talk about counseling for baptism, where through God's love, through His graciousness, we're called to know His way of life through the Scriptures as they're being revealed to us, as God opens our minds to understand them. And that we can be forgiven when we sin. We recognize and see that we hate who we are and what we do. And that we need a Savior, that we need to be redeemed, that we need to be bought back. And Paul tells us, I'd like to read in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, and verse 15, he's saying that we just don't automatically just go and sin and sin and sin and do what we want and come before the throne of God and ask for our sins to be forgiven, and that this is going to happen. He doesn't want us to willfully sin. They want us to hate sin. In verse 16 of Romans chapter 6, Paul says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves of whom you obey?" So whatever we are seeking out there to obey, that's what we're seeking, that's what we're doing, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. So there's two ways. "But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin," in other words, we've been called to come out of this world, our eyes have been opened, given that opportunity to continue in this walk, "yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered." So as we're baptized and receive the Holy Spirit, and as we walk, God works with us. "That form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness." So we pursue righteousness, and this is what we do. And that's what represents the fall harvest and Pentecost. All those before Christ returns, all through the age, been called, who received that calling and obey God, who've been called and continue that walk, will receive eternal life. That's what Pentecost represents. It's the harvest, the wheat harvest. The harvest of first fruits. We want to be there. We want to continue in this walk to be a part of what that day represents. We have this instruction book. We're to follow God, to live His way of life. We know that. We're there for each other. We give God the credit. The world can't comprehend this. The physical does not comprehend the spiritual. Without God intervening and giving us that opportunity to receive His Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit to work with us before we become baptized, we cannot understand. God has to open the Scriptures to us, as He says in Luke 24. So with that, I would like to look at an area today that ties in with the first message. You know, it's all a part, and whatever we do, we come to the Sabbath day. We come and we learn. We're instructed. And we haven't talked about tithing in a long time, but tithing is essential for doing the work of God. Tithing is essential for us as we worship our God. So today, I would just like to address a few things. I'd like to address, whose tithe is it? Are we tithing according to the way we are instructed? And who is the tithe for? And why? And why? Now I'm just going to touch on this topic. You can go in a number of different directions with it. I am going to mainly talk about the first tithe, not the second tithe or the third tithe. I'll address the But there's some other tithe, another tithe in there I'll address too, just touch on. But Proverbs chapter 3 talks about this tithing system. We're instructed in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9 about tithing, and that he blesses those who do tithe. And as we talked about in the introduction, we need to be obeying God. If we know what we're supposed to be doing and we don't do it, we're continuing to sin. And we're not being liberated by God's law of doing what is right. Verse 9, and he blesses those who obey him. He says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with all the first fruits of all your increase. So your increase, God says, that we need to be honoring him with our possessions. Why? Verse 10, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with the new wine. Now you can go through scripture and I'm not going to turn back there, but tithing was done before the time of Israel. Tithing was done during the time of Israel, and tithing still continues today. And we'll see that as we go along as well. So I have 4 points today, as we talked about in the SPS. So whose tithe is this? So when we make this, go out and work, and we receive a check, and we get it, and we look at it, and we calculate and figure out what that first tithe is, maybe that second tithe, and that third tithe. Whose tithe is it? Is it our tithe that we give to God? Well, we're told in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, whose tithe it is. And all the tithe of the land, Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's, and it is holy to God. So it's God's. Actually, everything is God's. Psalms chapter 50. God has just given us a lot. Psalm 50 verse 10 says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. He says, I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field. They are mine. God says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. For the world is mine and all its fullness. I will eat the flesh. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. God owns everything. He gives us things. We have an increase he wants us to give back. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. Tithing is just another aspect of what we do in obeying God. But there's much more to it than that. Verse 22, now consider this, you who forget God. So those of us who maybe forgot to tithe, or what in whatever area, I'm talking about tithing, okay? Forget about God and neglect to do what we're told to do. He says, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. God is not happy when we remain in sin. And we know we have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ to go before the throne, to have our sins forgiven and to ask for help to change and to grow and to overcome. And that's what he says in verse 23. Whoever offers praise glorifies me. Repentance. And to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. So tithing is a commandment. It's something that we must do, and I think we all know that. And he gives us the laws regarding tithing. And it's part of our relationship with God when we do tithe, and we honor him through tithing. So it is God's tithe. That's point number one. Number two, what is our attitude and are we tithing to God's instructions? Now, if we messed up or are messing up, you know, God said, I'm going to tear you in pieces. Right? But he's long suffering. He's a merciful God. He wants us to change. He knows. He loves us. He works with us. He guides us. He directs us. Now, this tithe, he gives us instruction. He wants us to do what's right, but it's all voluntary. He doesn't hold a gun to our head. He shows us what we need to be doing. And it's up to us if we're going to be doing it. Now, let's turn over to Malachi chapter 3. Or maybe you don't even need to turn there. We've read this many times. Because when we don't tithe, what are we doing? Who are we hurting? Well, it's a tithe that we've earned, but who do we owe? God says, will a man rob me? Or as Malachi is saying, will a man rob God? He says, but yet you have robbed me. So he's saying, there's people out here that are robbing me. People say, well, what do you mean we've been robbing you? He says, well, in tithes and offerings. And then he says, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. So God is saying that when we rob him and we don't tithe properly, there is a curse. And ultimately, if we understand that and know that we've made a commitment to that, and we have God's Holy Spirit, and we take it lighthearted, what do the scriptures say? Deuteronomy 14:22 says, you shall surely tithe of your increase. And there's an example in 2 Chronicles 31 about the blessing of tithing as well, verses 5 and 6. Now, we've discussed throughout the years, and there was a time we were paying tithes on our gross. Some people still do. Okay, and some people pay tithes on their net. From what I understand, the church is we tithe on our increase. Okay, so it's after our taxes. As Jesus Christ told the Pharisees as they tried to trick him, and we know this scripture, Matthew 22:17. They asked him, well, who should we pay? You know, Jesus Christ takes out that coin. You know, the picture of Caesar. Jesus Christ says, well, pay unto Caesar what's his first, and then pay unto God. So we look at that as taxes taken out, we pay to the government. After that, that's our increase. Now, some will even go further than that and say, well, now I've got my bills, I've got to take care of this and to take care of that, and after all that, that's my increase. Well, no, that's not the increase. We tithe on the 10%, we tithe on our increase, and tithing, for us, we have to step out in faith. I know there's many of us, many times, you know, I have this bill to pay, this is coming up, do I compromise, do I borrow, do I lend, I have my tax check coming, what do I do? Well, God says we tithe, he blesses us. So it is something that we need to look at. It is about worshiping God. It's about putting him first. It's about trusting him and all that we do. It's not about dickering or, you know, justifying our sins. There's a show on the History Channel about dickering, you know, trying to get the better deal against the other person. You know, they're trying to get them down in the price. You're trying to get them up in the price. No, God's system, you know, he has said, it's talking about his increase. You know, there can be situations. You need to talk about those. But we have a third tithe system to help the widows, childless, etc., those who are in need. But we have a tithing system that's set up. But we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. But the ultimate thing that I want to point out here is our mindset. Matthew chapter 6, of our attitude. That's what point number 2 is. Is, do we justify that, well, you know, when I tithe on $100, that's $10 her first tithe. But when I tithe on maybe, I got a, you know, a larger check, you know, that's a lot more money. We can sometimes start looking at that. Well, that starts to get a little bit of money there. But who is our God? And Jesus Christ talks about that in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Don't lay up our treasure of our money, holding back a tithe that we need to be giving, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And it's talking about, you know, here we're hoarding stuff back, things for ourselves. You know, I think we can be looking at tithing in this situation, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do we want to tithe? I think we can look forward, you know, to that paycheck. I can't wait to get that paycheck, so I can tithe. No one can serve two masters, verse 24, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, and you can't serve money. If that money is wrong, can't be our God. God needs to be first. And we step out in faith when we tithe. Because verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way of life, right? We've been called to a new way. And all these other things will be added unto you. Just like tithing, seeking his way, these other things will be added unto us. We step out in faith. How's God going to take care of it? Doesn't tell us exactly, but he does. He will. We can't be doing it grudgingly. It must come from the heart, a relationship with God, our faith. We believe that God is. And when we believe that God is, we do what he says. And we know if we do that, through this process, of this calling, that he is a rewarder for those who obey him. It's not any of our righteousness, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 2. It only comes through Jesus Christ, God the Father, through his Son, through this process. So, I say that, you know, tithing demonstrates, you know, who our God is. Is it money? We want to hold on to it. We're afraid of, you know, I got this bill, but I got to tithe. Then what's going to happen? Do we trust God? Where are we at in our lives? We can ask for help. We can ask for guidance. We ask for direction. We can ask for strength through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we're seeking righteousness and not the pursuits of this society. Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ told the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23:23, a scripture that we've all heard. He says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You think you're obeying the law. You're there as the spiritual leaders, taking advantage of people, seeking the power, seeking the money, but you tithe. And God, Christ says, that's good to tithe. Okay, he says, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, but you've neglected the weightier matters of the law, the justice. Of justice. Instead of taking advantage of others, you know, you're not giving of yourself. You're not showing mercy. You're not tithing in faith. You're so particular to make sure, maybe, that you're just giving the right amount. You don't want to give any extra. And the tithe. You want to give just enough. You don't want to be short. Make sure that you're righteous. And we want to tithe, but We also want to do it from the heart. They missed the spiritual application that Jesus Christ was trying to teach them from tithing from the heart. As God teaches, we need to follow. And we know they missed that point because their focus was on power. Their focus was on material possessions. They didn't want to yield to God. So if we think that we're tithing and we're doing that just right, well, we got to think, well, where is our heart? Are we seeking and pursuing God's way of life through his Son? Point number three, who is the tithe for? Well, the tithe is for God, and he gives instruction of how that tithe is to be used. He gives instruction who that tithe is for. Abraham gave tithes to Melchizedek before the nation of Israel. We had the Levitical priesthood that God said the tithe. It was his tithe he gave to the Levitical priesthood for them to work in the temple, to do his work, to take care of the people. And the people were to tithe, and the tithe went to the Levitical system, to the priesthood. And then the priests also would tithe and give that tithe to the high priest, Aaron, to that upper part of Moses, Aaron's sons, that priesthood. So everything was about tithing. It was a process of doing God's work, of taking care of the people, as we heard in the first message. And you can read, just jot down in your notes, Numbers chapter 18. It talks about that system, verse 26 through 31. God gave it to them. Why? Verse 31 of that chapter says because they're doing the work of God. They did God's work, and God gave them that tithe. It was for him to give. Now we know, you can jump ahead and write down in your notes, that the chapter, Hebrews chapter 7, talks about the transformation from the Levitical priesthood going to that Jesus Christ now is the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ is from the tribe of Judah. And we have a spiritual priesthood, which we have today, that continues today. I'm going to turn over to Galatians chapter 6. In this tithing process, Paul talks about that tithing as well. Galatians chapter 6, process of giving to the ministry. Let him who is taught, Galatians 6, verse 6, let him who is taught the word. So we're taught in God's word, right? We receive instruction. The apostles, as we heard in the first message, went out to teach God's word. They're instructed by Jesus Christ. They were told not to take any money with them. He says, for those who are taught in the word, share in all good things with him who teaches. So I think we can look at tithing as being a part of this, that we are to share with those who teach. We can go back, and there's examples. There's an example in, I wrote it down here, in Nehemiah, the chapter 13, where people neglected to tithe. What happens to the priesthood? They have to have money coming in. Back then, you know, okay, they're not getting money coming in. They left. They went out to work. Therefore, the people weren't getting fed. Eventually, the Sabbath was profaned. That's the whole chapter, what it's talking about. Nehemiah comes back in to tell the people what they're doing. So there's a process here. If we want God's work to be done, we want his gospel to be preached. And there's a number of different facets and assets, how it all comes together. Tithing plays a part in that. Do we want to hold back God's word, his truth? So it says, share in all good things with him who teaches. He says, do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. What is our attitude? For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, if we're focused on the physical things, what we can get for ourselves, will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we want to be seeking. We don't want to be following as God leads us. We want to be yielding to him, because God talks to us through his Spirit. That's how we learn. That's how we grow, through his ministry. And let us not grow weary. Don't grow weary. In other words, we must have faith. If we're neglecting to tithe, look how this thing falls apart. It says, don't grow weary by doing good. We want to continue to tithe. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all. We want to do good to everyone. We have that opportunity. We do it. That's what we're taught. That's what Jesus Christ teaches us. Especially, or, I looked it up in the Greek, more importantly, to those who are of the household of faith. We must take care of our own household. As we heard in the first message of preaching the gospel goes out. As we heard in Matthew 28, Mark 16, it's actually throughout the gospels, it's also in Acts, that we are to preach the gospel. And those who respond, as a ministry preaches the gospel, people can see it evident in our lives. People respond. The ministry teaches those who are desiring to repent, and then they are cared for. They're taken care of. We take care of our own household. I know I grew up in Worldwide, and I remember the sermons as serve and serve and serve and give. I remember the ministers who, the stories that early in the morning to late at night, they had to get so many visits in. They had to do all these different things. They were tasked. Did they neglect their own household? I know some people said they neglected their own household. Their kids left the church. What we heard today in the seminar is great for us to be focused on a relationship with God, so that we can have a relationship with our children. We can serve. There's all kinds of opportunities to serve, but we must not neglect our household. So we have opportunities in our own physical household. We have, you know, the home office has responsibility of taking care, and they do. They do take care. But it's something that they must look at, and they're held accountable for, you know, what they do. We all are held accountable for what we do. So we want to be praying that God's will be done. We want to make sure the ministers are being taken care of, so that they, what? Can take care of the flock. They can take care of those that are being called, that are desiring to repent as the gospel goes out, of what is there to preach the gospel. And we have a whole other topic there. So we learn through the ministry, through Jesus Christ. So the tithe, you know, that tithe goes to the ministry. The ministry uses it. Ministry can do different things with it. I'm not going to go that direction. But the other point, number four, real quick, is why. Why? And I pretty much touched that on point number three. I got ahead of myself. But Matthew chapter 10, you know, as we're, why the ministry gets this tithe. One of the reasons is that we look at, and we have in our tithing booklet, if you want to go to our tithing booklet and read that, it says, Matthew chapter 10, verse 7, says, as God, Jesus Christ, gives instruction to the disciples, he says, go and preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The opportunity for people to hear my words is out there. Go and preach it. See who's going to respond. So there's marching orders. It says, heal, and then those who that respond, heal the sick. physically, spiritually. Cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Christ said, go do this and you will be doing a work. It will be seen. This is an awesome calling. All part of obeying God and this process of how all these different things come together that we have a heart, a desire to obey God. And every capacity as he shows us, as he leads us, we follow. He says, freely you have received. So we've freely received this word. Freely give it out. Give the word of God to others. We don't beg for money. God says, don't go out and beg for money. We don't collect, pass a basket every Sabbath. We don't get on the telecast and beg for money. I don't see anywhere in the scriptures that we are to beg or ask for money. God has a tithing system. We do it in faith through a relationship through his son to know God's will. God will lead. We just follow his instructions. And we do that in our physical lives. So as we march in these 50 days to be a part of the first fruits, that's our desire, that's our goal, is to overcome. We want the reward, the kingdom of heaven that God so desires, that puts out there. He gives us that opportunity to know that he exists. And to continue in that belief, we do what he says. Jesus Christ told Peter, referred to it in John 21, verse 15. He told Peter, as they're eating breakfast, as they finish breakfast, he said, Peter, as all the disciples are sitting there, as he's teaching them and work with them, Peter, do you love me more than the rest of these disciples? Well, Peter just right off says, yes, I do. Well, what's Jesus Christ commissioning him to do? I want you to take care. He says, you go back and read that. He wants you to take care of those I'm calling. He starts out with lambs. Feed my lambs. My little lambs, the ones that I'm calling. Take care of them. They're precious. They need to be taught. He continues to ask him again. He says, tend to my sheep. Take care of them. Then he says a third time, feed my sheep. Peter got a little upset, but Peter matured. He grew in this process. God is long-suffering. We can repent, we can change, we can grow in all that we do. But it's to take care. The ministry is to take care of the flock, to take care of those that he is calling. God is an amazing God. Look at this earth, look at this world, look at all that he's created. It's amazing. You just reflect and see the everyday things when we take the time. He's powerful. Ephesians chapter 4, let's wrap it up. And this process, ties it all up here. Ephesians chapter 4. And it's this process, this calling, this work that God the Father gave to his son, our elder brother, our high priest, our soon coming king, the one that sits at the right hand of God, who intercedes in our behalf when we go before that throne, who, as we seek them and ask for forgiveness and want to be more like them and to ask for that help. For verse 11 talks about Jesus Christ, and he himself gave some to be apostles. Jesus Christ is the one who takes care of the ones who the Father draws to him. Some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. What for? He calls these individuals to take care of those whom he's calling. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the service, to take care, to teach. us that are called, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, to the days of unleavened bread, we are, Paul says, you know, taking a Passover, that we come before, that we are able to discern the Lord's body. How do we discern the Lord's body, that we don't take the Passover unworthily? How do we react to others? How do we live? What do we do? The whole concept. We're instructed in this instruction book on how to live. We're taught that through the ministry. If we neglect on giving our tithes, we're going to be cursed. We may not know and follow the instructions that are being taught here, what God wants to give us. Remember, God's law is a law of liberty. He delivers us as 12 years ago, 11 years ago, when Mr. and Mrs. Elliott moved here, I remember that concept that he had, and it stuck with me, and I think about it all the time, because it's what I sometimes, what I do too much. It's like that fly, the fly going around and lands on that piece of dung. It, you know, you chase that fly away. It wants to keep coming back to that piece of dung. That's the world. We want to keep going back to the world. We want to come out of the world. We can't do it on our own. We need help. We got to ask for help. In this process, we grow, we're taught, the ministry teaches us. That's how Christ has it set up. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So we are taught to know how to learn to live so that we do discern the Lord's body. Until we come to the unity of the faith. That doesn't mean everyone in this church is going to have unity of faith. It's only those who are going to be seeking God's way of life. The ecclesia, the called out ones, the true believers. And the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man. We come to maturity. We come to understand. We love to tithe. We just do it. God always works it out. We have faith. He gives us that. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It comes from Him. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Things that, I don't understand this, I don't understand that. I got a question about this. We're always going back and forth. Where is our heart? What's our desire? Paul said in Romans chapter 6, to seek righteousness. Let's not go back into being slaves of sin. When we seek righteousness, we do slip up. And we have that advocate, don't we? Because there's going to be the trickery of men. They come from the pulpit through deceitfulness, but it says the trickery of men. Individuals, we have wheat and tares. You know, the wheat harvest, fall harvest, Pentecost, you know, it's not the tares that get in. It's the wheat. The tares are going to be burned up like chaff. So do we know that? Are we grasping it? Do we desire it? But the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth and the love to God's love, agape love, faithfulness, living His way of life, trusting in Him, just doing it, whatever He asks. Sometimes we can get messed up. We're in our trials and we keep having these things going on, and we grow through adversity. Don't get me wrong. But some of the times we put these trials upon ourselves because we want to still hold on to the world. We still want to hold on to the world. We still want to justify some of those sins. God says, no, we've been called to come out of that. Let's put it away. Let's seek and pursue righteousness, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. But speaking the truth and love may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, is Christ. We do it His way. He's doing the Father's will. From the whole body, joined and knit together, made possible by Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, his life, his sacrifice, his death, his resurrection, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. We're growing in unity. Doesn't matter who has what power. Doesn't matter who has what physical assets. We give, we share, we lift up. That causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love, through God's love, through his calling. It's spiritual. The physical cannot comprehend it. So in conclusion, today we touched on tithing. And every Sabbath we touch on a topic. We're instructed on God's Sabbath day. We're taught by Jesus Christ himself. We're taught through the ministry to grow. And we are required to grow in his instruction. So it's up to us. We have to ask that question. Are we going to draw near to God? Or are we going to hold on to Satan? You know, James tells us that we are to resist Satan, resist the world, resist unrighteousness, resist trying to justify our sins, resist that way of life, to hate it, and let God know that you hate it. And we can let God know that we need help, because our nature sort of likes it, but we need help to overcome. So we can draw near to God and live that way of life, and seek that way of life, and ask God to help us to desire that way of life, and then Satan will flee. That's what it says. So, a question is, do we want to seek righteousness? Do we want to live righteousness? We know the harvest is for those who desire righteousness and want nothing to do with sin. So when we tithe in faith, we proclaim who our God is. The true God. The true God. We have no other gods. We proclaim that he rules preeminently in our lives. That tithing is something that shows God that we honor him. It's a worship process. Everything is God's. He owns everything. The tithe is his. The tithe is holy. And it belongs to him. So let's follow him as he leads us.